This is Paul Pachter, President and CEO of Long Island Cares and the Harry Chapin Regional Food Bank, and welcome to another episode of our Breaking Bread podcast. My guest today is someone who's no stranger to this podcast. He's been on the show many times before, and he is our community event and food drive manager, Billy Gagneau. Billy, welcome back to the show.
Hi, Paul. Thank you so much for having me again.
The audience happens to like you as well, as you could see.
I'll take that.
So, Billy, we've discussed before the importance of community food drives and special events to augment the 14 million pounds of food that we bring in on an annual basis to Long Island Cares. And we know that food drives are important. I did some analysis during the week, earlier this week. I was looking at the amount of poundage that comes in from food drives versus the amount of poundage that comes in from the retail rescue program. And based upon the numbers annually at the end of 2023, which was a challenging year for us because it was post-COVID and the economy was, you know, challenging for many people. But we did succeed in raising close to 750,000 pounds of food.
Yeah.
Through food drives, and that's approximately 13-14% of all the food that Long Island Cares brings in. And, you know, your job, really, you spend a lot of time talking to people in the community.
Right.
You are our liaison to good people of Long Island that want to support the food bank and feed the hungry, and you do that so well. Let's talk about 2023. We were in a situation where we're, you know, a year after COVID, we're looking at what many people have referred to as greedflation, the fact that the average cost of a grocery basket has gone up by 17% in the last 2 years. Taking $10 or $20 to a supermarket or a corner grocery store does not get you what you may have gotten, you know, 3, 4, 5 years ago. And people started to pull back a little bit
right.
from charitable giving. So where someone who might have, you know, seen us outside a supermarket come out with a bag full of food, maybe this time they came out with 2 boxes of something. What have you, you know, what was happening in 2023, in addition to what I just mentioned, that brought food drive numbers down for every food bank in the country?
I think a lot of it too, it's greedflation is definitely one of the major factors. Like you said, I spent $15 on breakfast the other morning for 2 bagels and a cup of hot chocolate.
Wow.
So it's, going to a grocery store is very difficult for people who don't need our assistance, mm-hmm. but then asking for that extra donation can put a drain on their, or a strain on their wallet.
Sure.
But I think it's also people are tired of giving in a way, or tired of being asked. We've been, from organizations all over the world, different fields have been asking for so much since the start of COVID that I think it's got to a point where people just are exhausted, or their resources are exhausted.
You're talking about donor fatigue.
Donor fatigue,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I think I do think it's getting better, but I did notice it a lot, and our volunteers noticed it a lot of our food drives, and even food drive hosts would make comments about, you know, usually we do 1,000 pounds, but only 300 this year, which 300 pounds is still 300 pounds.
Sure. But, look, every pound helps, but when people are facing an increase in the cost of their own food for their families, looking at gas, which, you know, in the last 2 weeks, gas has gone down 10 cents, up 15 cents, and now down a nickel, you can't keep up with it. So how are people who are trying to get by, middle-class families, for the most part, who feel they want to contribute, they're challenged to do that. And that results in, you know, instead of raising $1.2 million, we're raising 750,000. What's planned for this year in terms of food drives? What are some of the food drives that are coming up that you want to share with our listeners?
So one of the first is this weekend, March 2nd and 3rd at Suffolk County in Suffolk County Community College in Brentwood. It's the Long Island Pet Expo.
Oh, so, in the exhibition hall there?
Yes.
Oh, that's wonderful.
So that event has been going on for a long time, but this is our first time that we'll be there. So we'll be set up with our gazebo, and we're collecting pet food and human food the entire weekend, selling merchandise, all the Long Island Cares merchandise, mm-hmm. and just talking to people about Baxter's Pet Pantry and also playing with all the animals that they're going to have there, because there is a petting zoo and pony rides.
Oh, very nice.
But I'm very excited to see how we'll do with that event.
Mm-hmm.
I know that an email went out yesterday to over 15,000 people, so, and the host is very excited about that. So I'm very excited to see what will happen with that. On April 6th, we have at UBS Arena Skate with the Senator.
That's an interesting event. I certainly, was privy to the emails. We're talking about our state senator in Valley Stream.
Yes.
And she's going to be hosting sort of a skating party at their new outside skating ring. And she's asking for her constituents to come and bring a donation of non-perishable food to support Long Island Cares.
Right.
That should be exciting.
And I think it's exciting, especially since I've noticed the more donors popping up from that area in Valley Stream.
Really?
More food drives are happening. And I don't know if there's anything to do with expanding or mm-hmm. just the need getting out there more.
I think there is a correlation between our plans to open up a ninth location in the village of Valley Stream and the fact that we're seeing an increase in donations from that community. You know, we've been trying to open up the Valley Stream satellite now for over a year. We were lucky to get both a state and federal grant to do it. And as fate would have it, there's a lot of challenges in terms of the property that we're right. leasing in order to make it fire safe, given the fact that we're going to be serving a lot of people there. But the news has been going around the community now for over a year that Long Island Cares is going to be opening up there. In fact, our sign was put up months ago, so people know we're coming there. So, yeah, I think your observation is correct. So we've got this pet expo going on at Suffolk Community College where people who attend, will they be able to purchase pet food at the expo, or they're going to bring pet food on their own?
The ask is to bring pet food on their own.
Okay.
But I am in talks with the event host who would like the vendors that will be on site to put up signs basically saying, hey, if you're buying your dog some treats, buy some extra and put it in this box for Long Island Cares.
Yeah,
so he's
definitely.
Trying to get the vendors more involved, which will be great.
And maybe even offering like a discount
right.
if you buy it from the vendor. So maybe you get 20% off or 15% off. What else is going on? So that's two exciting ways to raise food donations.
Yeah, we have on May 4th, so Star Wars Day, it's the second annual Town of Smithtown Youth Bureau Food Drive at Smithtown Town Hall, which raised, the first year was 2 years ago, and they raised over 1,000 pounds of food, I think close to 2,000.
Mm-hmm.
And they're doing it again, and we're trying to see how we can make it a fun competition with maybe the dark side and the light side, and in observance of Star Wars Day, of course.
So whose idea was this, Star Wars Day?
It just, when they reached out about it, I just made a comment that it was Star Wars Day because mm-hmm. May the 4th be with you.
Oh.
And they were like, well, no, we realize this. Let's try to make this something more.
Oh,
so,
that's excellent.
So that that should be great. And they get a lot of their students involved. They offer students community service hours in exchange for food donations. And mm-hmm. I attended the first one, and it was a great event.
You've done a lot with students.
Yes.
Getting them involved and volunteering and coming to some of our events and helping us out and running them. What's been for you the most gratifying thing about working with young people and getting them excited about, advocating for people who are food insecure?
The reminder that compassion is still there.
Mm-hmm.
So I think you can look around on any news channel or anything and just be so devastated by everything that's happening in the world and just feel defeated. But with some of these students, we see them at food drives or they're working in the satellite sites or they're doing hunger 101 sessions, and you just see this spark in some of them, that compassion is still there, that the desire to change the world is still there. We had a student last summer who spent 3 hours working in Freeport and within 45 minutes emailed me to sign up for every available shift for the entire summer because she was just so impressed. And those students keep coming back and back. And it's just, it's seeing, you know, for me, it's a reminder of what I was like when I was growing up. But seeing that that's still there, that's still being taught and probably being taught more than ever to care about other people.
And these are high school students, middle school students?
All ages. I primarily worked with high school and middle school, but I see it all ages.
I'm really, you know, I've read a lot of things that you've written in your monthly report and some of the information coming out of your department. And I'm always so proud of what I'm reading about the young students who are coming to work with us. You know, I've said many times in the past 3 years, 4 years, that I believe when it comes to fundraising, all nonprofits, not just Long Island Cares, we really found ourselves skipping a generation with the millennials.
Right.
And for all good reasons, all valid reasons, millennials, you know, are trying to get their lives put in order. They're going to be graduating college. They have expenses. They want to live on their own. They want to find affordable housing. And so they're so busy taking care of their own personal needs that they don't have anything to spare. Or the issue that we deal with in food insecurity and hunger doesn't reach the top five priorities that they have as millennials. And then you see a younger generation come in. I guess it's Generation I think they refer to them as.
I'm not sure anymore. I know there's Gen Z after the millennials. I'm not sure.
Well, maybe it's Gen Z. Maybe it's Gen I. We don't know anymore. But what we do know is that students between the ages of 13 and 17 are giving of their time, giving of their talents. They want to change the world for the better. And so we really do have a chance now to, you know, cultivate a whole bunch of new volunteers to help us with food drives and special events. And I think a lot of it and a lot of the success that we're having in this area is because of your skills and talent at organizing them. What are some other events that you'd want to share that we should be talking about?
We do have officially starting on March 1st and then ending May 31st is the 13th annual Legislative Pet Food Drive, where we invite all elected officials on Long Island to challenge each other to support Baxter's Pan Petry by hosting a pet food drive. So far, we have 15 officials registered, and that makes up about 34 different participating locations across Long Island.
We haven't even announced it publicly yet.
No.
And you've got 15 elected officials already signing up to do this. How much did we raise last year in terms of pet food? Do you recall?
From the drive?
Yeah.
I think it was around 11,000 or 12,000 pounds.
11,000 or 12,000 pounds.
It did decrease after COVID, but it's trying to get back up to where we were because I believe we were at 20,000 at one point.
And also, I recall we had legislators, and the immediately comes to mind for me was former New York State Senator Phil Boyle from, where is that?
Bayshore.
Bayshore, right. And he used to fill up his district office waiting room with so much pet food, and he stepped down from the seat and now is the CEO of the OTB. He's the OTB person now for Suffolk County. So we lost him. So that's going to be a big loss.
We lost a few in the same year. Mm-hmm. They either retired, took on another role, or were not reelected. And it was the bigger players of that drive. So we did see a hit after that election year.
Well, you know, you make a case, an important point. Maybe some of our legislators, when they're campaigning, should really make an issue of, we supported Baxter's Pet Pantry. You need to reelect us. That's an issue. Well, that's great that that's coming up. And then if we look toward the summer, music festivals, outdoor concerts, other opportunities.
Hopefully. We're not in talks with them yet, but I assume the May Day Music Festival will be happening again in May. Mm-hmm. And trying to just get back outside. With the weather being so unpredictable, it's hard to do events in the winter. But getting back outside at supermarkets and seeing what events we can really take over. The Pet Expo was a great when they reached out to us was a really great opportunity, I think. Mm-hmm. And I would love to see more of that happening when we can actually go outside and have fun.
Oh, sure. Definitely. The other thing is, you know, you mentioned we have food drives at outside supermarkets. Give me some sense. Who are some of the supermarket retail partners that are supporting food drives for Long Island Cares?
In 2023, King Cullen supported the entire Walk Radio Thanks for Giving food drive.
And that raised over 20,000 pounds as well?
Yeah. Yeah, they raised a lot. ShopRite, specifically the Thompson family and the Bonadonna families, their stores. We've also worked with Stop and Shop quite a few times. Mm-hmm. And their biggest drive with NBC and the NBC... NBC Feeding Our Families food drive, which raised...
Packing the Pantries, I think, something like that, yeah.
Which raised over 30,000 pounds in one day.
Wow.
We had 25 stores, and actually that's coming up on June 1st.
Coming back again.
We have the first phone call this upcoming Monday with them, and that's coming, I'm assuming we'll have 25 stores again in one day.
So it's we're back to where we were. Hopefully the public is back with us. And realizing how important it is to support their neighbors in need who are struggling with food insecurity. I know we're running out of time, but anything else that you wanted to bring up that our listeners should know about?
I think it's despite greedflation and donor fatigue, there were a number of moments last year where we saw people really go above and beyond. There was a company who came to one of the Walk Radio food drives and filled up over 5 shopping carts full of food. The receipt was longer than a CVS receipt, so you know that's saying something.
Sure.
But children giving up their birthday presents in exchange for donations of food, schools coming together to do more, and a lot of those schools are schools we support through a number of our programs. Mm-hmm. So seeing them want to give back, of course they're under no obligation to do so, but seeing people that are in need that still want to give back, so there are those moments that people are giving more, but there still is a challenge that we're facing.
Well, I think we're lucky that we have you here as our food drive and community event manager, because you have a way of cultivating donors, nurturing donors, acknowledging donors. And, you know, it's just people gravitate to your energy as well. I see it all the time. Billy, that is... Trust me, that is not personal about you. It just means that we have ran out of time for this episode. I want to thank Billy Gagneau, Long Island Cares Food Drive and Community Events Manager, for joining me. This is Paul Pachter, President and CEO of Long Island Cares, the Harry Chapin Regional Food Bank. Next time, we'll see you back here. Until then, go out and take care of each other. Have a great time.